true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible also says, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the reason for that is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And a lot of other those passages like that that remind us of the validity of what the ladies just sang, and to know that come what may, sun comes up in the morning, the Word of God is still true.
Amen.
Goes down in the evening, it's still true.
Amen.
Good days, bad days, Bible is still standing strong. And that's the reason we gather in a meeting like this, and we gather around the Word of God. We're not gathering around our preferences and whatever's popular at the moment, but we're gathering around the blessed book. And, you know, churches like Madison Baptist, we're not members of the Bible a Month Club. You know what I mean? We're not interested in something somebody's tinkered with. We don't want them changing, twisting, distorting. We're just going to hang tough with the blessed book that God's given to us. So we're excited about that. And tonight I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. It's been a real joy to be here these couple of days. And, you know, I was thinking as I was kind of waiting for the service to start, hearing some of you testify about what went on the early part of the week, I'm sorry I didn't get out here and get in on the early part of it. Of course, Brother Savage and Brother Arthur both are dear friends, and together with them a good bit and meetings here and there. But it's always a joy to come to Madison Baptist Church. Brother Allison's a dear friend, and we enjoy just being together. We went to lunch today and kind of took in some Mexican fare, and really the food was good, but the conversation, the fellowship was even gooder. So we just had a good time. And I'm grateful for that. It's always a delight when he asked me to come for the conference or whatever. And God bless you all. Your testimony rings clear out across your city and beyond. And we're thankful for that. If you'll pray for me, you know, I haven't traveled a lot since mid-March last year. I think this makes about maybe trip number 9 or 10 that I've made since then, something like that. Been preaching at home a good bit. Last calendar year, Brother Sumner, our pastor, you know, takes vacation once in a while, and other reasons maybe why he's been out, and so he's let me fill for him. And then December 28th, he had to have knee replacement surgery. So this month, I've preached for him a bunch, and including, Lord willing, come this Sunday, I'll be up 3 times, auditorium Bible class and both services. That'll make number 10, 11, and 12 in January alone that I've preached there at the church for him. And we love Dr. Sumner and love the church, enjoy being there. And I've been there a lot. And we've just kind of gotten in, been able to do some things together. And we're grateful for that. But if you'd pray for me, I'm starting to travel a little bit more. And February, I will be in Benton, Arkansas for 3 days, Lord willing. And then down in Ocala, Florida toward the end of the month. And in between, I'm doing a Bible, I'm doing the New Zealand Bible Conference. Now, you know where New Zealand is? That's not in Alabama. It's not in Tennessee. You say, you're going to New Zealand? No. I'm going to preach 3 times in the Sword Auditorium in Murfreesboro. And with our technology, they're going to just plug me in, and I'm going to be live and in color in New Zealand for the big Bible conference they have down there. You know, I've done some other things like that these last few months, just some one-shot things. But this time it'll be 3 days in a row. And now they're about, I think, 5 hours behind us. Like when it's noontime here, it's only 7 a.m. there. And the first service on a Thursday, anyway, whenever they want me, I think it's 1 a.m. our time or something. So I may get up, let somebody else sing, and then I may just get up and sleep in front of them or something. But anyway, I'm glad to do that. But do pray for us. We just got a lot of things going and things that we need to do and want to do and keep the fires burning across our nation. Fires of God, I'm talking about. And trust the Lord to use all of us, including your wonderful church. Revelation chapter 3. And I begin reading with verse number 14. If you've been a Christian very long, you're aware that Revelation chapters 2 and 3 contain seven letters to seven churches. Individual letters, and they are addressed pointedly to the pastor, the messenger. The word that's used here is the word angel. It's used in each one of these churches. It says, "And unto the angel of the church." You say, well, why is it that way? Well, the word angelos, the word angel, has to do with the messenger, which is the pastor, the preacher for that church. You say, why would the Bible use that term angel? Well, pastors are always up in the air and harping on stuff. Amen? Yeah, sure, that's what we do. I mean, we get up and we just go after things like we ought to. Whether that's the etymology of the word, I don't know, but I'm having fun with it. But it is addressed, each one of these, to the church. This one to the church of the Laodiceans. Now, let's read it from verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have not need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, if you look back with me at verse number 14, there's a phrase in that verse on which I want to camp just a little while here tonight. When it introduces the message to the angel, the pastor of the church, it says, "Write, these things saith the Amen." These things saith the Amen. Now, that term, Amen, is not a woman. In fact, the word Amen has nothing to do with gender. And that dude who stood up in, that bird, who stood up in front of the Congress and made the scene that he did about that the other day, I mean, I think there's a lot of things about him that probably wouldn't fly if you took it to the airport and tried to get it airborne. But whatever the case, he kind of made a splash with that. But this word Amen in the Bible simply means that we're giving endorsement to something. We're embracing something. We're giving our consent, our approval. It's like, yes, yes, so be it, whenever we use that term. Now, in this case, it is talking about and giving a name or a title to a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus, and he is one of his titles is the Amen. It's not one that we think about a lot. We do not usually appropriate it that way, but it is so done here in this verse. Now, we know his name is Jesus, but he has many titles. The Bible says, for example, that he's the light of the world. In a world of darkness, thankfully, God has provided light. And that light is personified. It is embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus himself. And not only that, but the Bible says that he is the bread of life. What he provides for us, if you will ingest it, if you will take it in, it will feed and nurture your soul like nothing else on the planet. So he is the bread of life. Not only that, but the Bible says he's the water of life. like an arid desert. Sometimes our life, our soul, the depths of our being, we just become barren. It's like we're in the midst of a drought, and we thirst for something that only God can satisfy. Only the Lord Jesus can satisfy. And it's like getting that drink of water when you've been out in the desert for hours on end without the refreshment of water. And so, yes, He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the water of life. Not only that, the Bible says that He is the Word. John chapter 1 tells us that that title can be appropriated to Him. So He is the person, not just the written Word, but He is, by virtue of who He is, entitled to be called the Word. And not only that, the Bible says that He's a creator. When God said, "Let us," in Genesis chapter 1, talking about Himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. So triune God, that Trinity, very much involved there. And the Lord Jesus was there. John chapter 1 says that without Him was not anything made that was made. So He's the water of life, the bread of life, the light of the world. Yes, also He's the Creator. The Bible also says that He's the Son of God. He is God the Son and the Son of God. Uniquely so. Uniquely so. No one else like Him. Nothing to compare with Him. He not only is the Son of God, but the Bible also calls Him the Son of Man. Yes, He was born in human flesh, made in flesh, incarnate. He was virgin born, but enfleshed and lived here among us for a while. The Bible also entitles Him as Lord. Sometimes, we say, well, now we're going to make Him Lord, and that's a good expression to embrace Him properly in our life. But whatever we do or don't do, He is Lord. You mark it down. That title belongs to Him, and He does not forfeit that. I mean, if you and I misbehave and run amok in our life, He is still the Lord of glory. Not only that, but the Bible says He's the Savior. I get to thinking about all of these things, and I get to this point, and I realize that I and all of us, listen, we're born sinners, and we start practicing our sinfulness pretty early in our life, and that very act of sin puts us in a jeopardy that we cannot resolve. It puts us in a dilemma that we cannot fix, and we need somebody that can be the salvation of our dilemma, the salvation of our soul. And that is the one who's the light of the world and the bread of life and the water of life and the Creator and the Savior. He is. Not only that, but the Bible calls Him the one who's greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah, greater than all of the prophets, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. He's called the Resurrection. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way." The way, yes. He provides the way so that here we are on the earth trying to figure out how to get to heaven. Well, there's a way, and your GPS can't help you there. What you need is your BPS, your biblical positioning system, to get you to heaven. And your Bible will always point you to the Lord Jesus. He is the way. And not only is He the way, He is the truth and the life. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. I mean, the titles that He has are just awesome to contemplate. And in this passage that I'm looking at tonight, the Bible says, "These things saith the Amen." So He, as a person, is talking. So what are we looking at here tonight? Well, we're looking at what is said because the Amen is speaking up. Now, whenever the Amen starts talking, I think it might be a good idea if you and I just said Amen to whatever He says. Amen. And so we're looking at this tonight, this particular paragraph that we read is addressed at that Laodicean church. You may know the word Laodicea has to do with the rule of the people. You say, what's the problem with this church? The people were doing it their way. The people were saying, we don't need anything. We've got our own way of doing things. We prefer it this way. It's the way we like to do things. Listen, we got Laodicean churches all over the place these days. You know, we want our music. We want our Bible. We want our way of doing things. And so they chase off in a lot of different directions other than the one that God has laid out. That rule of the people, where the people say, the people decide, the people, they're not listening to God, but they're making up their own rules, they're making up their own plan, and doing things their way is a route to a ruination. It just destroys everything. And it creates hundreds, thousands of clamoring voices demanding to be heard when they just need to listen to what God has to say. Amidst all of the hustle and bustle of the endless activities, councils convene and boards meet and committees get together. And they all want to have their voice. They all want to speak. They all want you to know what they're thinking. But I'm going to tell you, this passage says that the amen is talking. And when the amen starts talking, it's like the voice of the thunder of heaven. It's like an eternal sonic boom that commands attention and ought to get our full attention, our full alert when he speaks. You say, well, what's he saying? If the amen's talking, what is he saying? Well, first thing he said, verse 15, he said, I know thy works. You say, well, how does he know what I'm doing? Well, the reason he knows is because he knows everything. There's not anything he doesn't know. I look at things. We spend our whole life acquiring knowledge about this, that, or the other. You know, we're born in the world. Somebody has to teach us to eat. I mean, they have to teach us to read and write and all kinds of things. And life is a constant thing of just figuring out things and learning things because we as much as we would like to posture sometimes and sometimes we like to imagine and like to let people think we're about 9 feet tall and that even intellectually we know everything. Well, there's not anybody who knows everything except God himself. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, knowing all, he is omniscient. Knows it all. And he looks at this church at Laodicea and he says, I know what you're doing. Now, sometimes I get to thinking about the Lord's watchfulness over us. And I'm comforted by that. I'm glad to know that his watchful eye is there. At the same time, it coaches me just a little bit. When I know that my Heavenly Father is watching what I do. And if I'm about to head down a wrong trail, I look up and I say, he's watching. He's watching. He's paying attention. And if I don't do what he says to do, if I don't follow his direction, and if I don't build my life like I ought to build it, then I'm well aware. He says to the church and certainly to individuals here, I know thy works. I know what's going on there. You and I, I think, can be coached by that to know that, we're not hiding in the darkness. We may crawl in the closet somewhere, but the eye of God still sees. So, what does he say? Well, not only do I know your works, but he said, my observation is, I wish you were either hot or cold. You know, churches are supposed to be warm spiritually. They're supposed to be alive spiritually. They're supposed to be activity. I mean, there's supposed to be things going on. But sometimes a church, even a good church, just collapses in its own doing and it gets cold and callous and indifferent to the things of God. And it just becomes like dead. But he says to these Laodiceans, he said, you're not running red hot and you're not cold dead. You're sitting in the middle. You're lukewarm And he said, I wish you would be the one or the other. You say, well, he's not wanting him to be dead. No, but it's that dangerous middle that's got him concerned. That lukewarmness in the middle. There are a lot of folks who get duped by the lukewarmness. Oh, it looks like church. A sign out front says it's a church, and they're playing at it. They're giving it some kind of attention, but it's not the way that it's supposed to be done. They're not playing it like it ought to be played. And here they are in the middle, and we're having church. And people get duped by that, and they get headed. I mean, there are people all the time. That they just join somewhere. They go through some ceremony, baptism or communion or whatever. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm on board now. But they've never been born again like they should be. And that lukewarmness, that dangerous middle poses a problem. Instead, the Lord says, I wish you were either hot. If you're not going to be hot, don't mess around in the middle. He said, I wish you were either red hot or stone cold dead. Say amen talking. He said, man, this is my church. I don't want it to die. No, and that's why you and I need to nurture it. We need to do everything that we can to keep it warm. I mean, it's not just the preacher's job. It's the job of all of us to get in and pitch and do whatever we can to push back the tide that the devil may throw at us. Do everything we can to keep our church where it needs to be. And the amen says, you keep messing around here with this lukewarmness. In fact, you notice that 17th verse, they just said, hey, we don't need anything. Said, they don't know that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's that lukewarmness. And then he gets down to that 18th verse. The bottom part of verse 60 is where we are. Bottom person, verse 16, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You got to watch that because some of our Arminian friends mess that up. I've had people point that verse. They have it underlined and they say, look at that. That means you can lose your salvation. Folks, listen to me. This whole chapter is dealing with a church. It's dealing with a church. It's not talking about somebody's salvation. It's dealing with a church who has lost its mantle. It has lost its direction, lost its vision, lost its heart, piddling in the world, dabbling around, doing things its way. They're blind and naked and cold, and they don't even know it. They say, we don't need anything. We're doing it our way. And the Lord said, okay, you go ahead. See how well you do. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. No power, no mantle, no anointing. And when that happens, the drought sets in. And that drought is not something any born-again person is going to enjoy. You say, well, what do we do in a situation? We listen when the amen's talking. What does he say? Look at verse 18. He said, I counsel thee. You know, if I'm going to get counsel, I want to be sure I've got a good counselor. And he is. He is the wonderful counselor. And we can listen to him. When he speaks, we ought to be listening. And he said to these folks in Laodicea, there in that 18th verse, he said, I want you to buy of me. He said, where'd you get what you got? Oh, I bought it at this store. I bought it over there in another town. Watch it carefully. He says, buy of me. Don't buy from some philosopher. Don't buy from some heretic. Don't buy from some popular, crowd-pleasing preacher. Don't go there. He says, buy of me. Get what you need from me. I counsel thee. It's like saying, I urge you. I coach you. I'm saying to you, buy of me, and here's what you buy. Buy gold that has been tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Not talking about your pocketbook. Not talking about how many houses you own or how many cars you have. He wants you to build your life Buy things, get things from Him that'll be like gold that has been purified so that when you build on it, you're going to build solid. Betty and I have been married since we were fresh out of high school. And in man's terms, it's been a lot of years. I've lost track of how many times, been a lot of them, where she and I have looked at one another and we have said, the Bible says, and we don't even have to explain that to one another. We've just said, we're going to build out of God's stuff. You said you two have a perfect marriage. Listen, you know that old joke. There never has been a perfect woman and only one perfect man. Amen. True. Christ is the only one who's perfect. I'm not perfect. Betty's not perfect. None of us are perfect. But if we will build our marriage on what God has given us, we're building on solid gold foundation. I mean, if you don't have a dime in the bank, you can still have a marriage that is built so solid, so precious to you, that you'd give up everything else you have just for that. By the way, you can build your kids out of that same kind of gold. You can build strong, strong families. You guys that are in business, find God's principles and build out of it. Just build out of it. I had a man in my church years ago, had a little grocery store. He had a friend in town who bought a supermarket. And my friend's name was Sam. He went to see his buddy who bought the bigger market. And they were walking around over this bigger, nicer store. Sam just had a little mom and pop type store in the neighborhood. And the guy that had the bigger store said, Sam, he said, what kind of beer do you sell in your store? And Sam, good old Southern country boy, he said, beer? He said, I ain't got no beer at all in my store. He said, well, hey, man, he said, if you're going to make it, you got to have beer in your store. And Sam told me, he said, you know what I told my buddy? I said, I can imagine. He said, I told him that the day that Sam has beer in his store is the day we'll put a lock on it and shut the thing down. You say, what was Sam's problem? Well, somewhere back there early in his life, dear Sam Moore decided that he was going to build out of the stuff. And by the way, Sam went on to tell me, he said, my buddy's dead and gone. He said, that store's changed hands three or four times. And he said, old Sam's still in business over here in the neighborhood. You see, why? Why is all of that? He built out of something solid. Now, Lord Jesus said, I counsel thee. You want to build out that gold? He said, talk about that white raiment. What's he talking about? He's talking about purity. He's talking about just being clean, living your life clean like it ought to be. And they're talking about your anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. I've heard people say, I just can't see it. Hey, Pastor, I just can't see it. Well, I tell you what, you use the Lord's eye salve on your eyes, and it'll help you to see what He's got in mind. So I've gotten a little older, toward the end of middle age, somewhere in that neighborhood now. My eyes get a little itchy and I have to use a little, optometrist give me a little stuff, you know, about once a day. I have to drop that in because the eyes have a little dryness. I leave it a couple of days, don't do it, maybe two or three days, and my eyes begin to get aggravating. And I start to look and it's like I don't even want to read because my eyes are itching. But I can use that little drops that He gave me. And it restores the lubrication in my eyes and makes them work like they ought to work. And whenever the eyes of your soul are not seeing the things of God, oh, you just need to get that touch from heaven. You need to get that touch of God, that anointing that he calls eyes have here, so that the eyes of your soul will see the things that God has laid out, so that the eternalities of God will not escape your notice, and you'll not go out and just build on the shaky sand that the world offers. He said, I counsel thee. You drop down into verse 19, the amen says, now you know those that I love, I rebuke and chasten. I think somebody here a little while ago, one of the testimonies said, I'm glad to be in a church like Madison Baptist. I didn't hear all that you said, but I liked what you said. And I tell you what, I don't want to go to a church where everything that's said is just, I mean, once in a while, maybe pretty often. I mean, whatever's in the book, lay it on me. I mean, if it skins my shins, I ought to be man enough. I ought to be Christian enough to take it. Say, well, I think the pastor got a little rough about that. Hey, listen, there's things we ought to get rough about.
Amen.
I mean, we don't need to just lob a little softball about some of this garbage that goes on in our world and in our communities. We need to stand up. We need to cry. And God, when God speaks, when the amen speaks to us, he said, I'll rebuke you sometimes. And if that doesn't work, he said, I will chasten you. He knows how to put the battle on. And he tells us that he'll do that. You say, why does he do that? He does it because he loves us. When the amen's talking, you and I ought to be listening. You get down to that 20th verse and he says, I'm knocking at your door. By the way, this 20th verse is not talking about somebody where he's trying to get to an unsaved person. He's still talking to this church. He's talking to this backslidden church, and he's banging on the church door saying, I want in, I want in. I'm knocking on that door, wanting to get in. Can you imagine God being shut out? And having to plead to get inside the church house. Well, that was Laodicea for you. You say, what's he want to do? Well, He says, you open that door, you hear my voice, and open the door. He said, I'll come in, and I'll sup with you, and you with me. This week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, my little sister, the only sister I have, she and her husband came down from Paducah and spent 3 days with us, and we just had such a good time. Enjoyed their company. I left home when I was 17, headed to college. I graduated from high school in June. She was born in July, and I've always told it this way. And I left to go to college in August. I mean, June, July, I graduated July. She was born in August. I left to go to college. That house wasn't big enough for two of us. And I told her this week, I said, girl, I said, I missed out on you growing up, but I said, now then that y'all are moving closer to us, coming to Fayetteville, I said, now that y'all are moving closer to us, I said, I'm going to get in on you growing old. She didn't think that was a compliment, but anyway, you say, what's the deal? Listen, when they got ready to leave after being there the 3 days, we were hugging and carrying on, you know. You say, what's the deal? We enjoyed the time together. We enjoyed the fellowship because there is love there. We enjoyed that time. And the Lord is saying to churches all across this land, let me in, let me in. You come, let me come in. I will sup with you. Talking about I'll fellowship with you. We'll put our arms around each other. We'll enjoy what we do together. Oh my. To imagine that one day in heaven we'll actually hear the voice of the Savior. Not just his written voice, but we'll hear his voice. And the amen says, you let me in, I've got special things that I'll give you. And indeed he does, so special. Folks, when the amen starts talking, say, what does he say? Well, you just look through the Bible. Matthew chapter 4, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the amen talking. Matthew chapter 5, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen talking. Matthew chapter 6, he says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Matthew chapter 7, the amen still talking. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen, you walk through the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10. You walk through the Bible. You'll find things all over the place that are the mouthpiece. I mean, it's the voice of God Almighty. It's the mouthpiece of heaven communicating to us things that we know that we need. We need it for the marriage. We need it for the raising of kids. We need it for the grandkids. Betts and I have a little great-granddaughter to be born in a few months. Oh, another exciting chapter in our life. You say, what's the deal? We're just praying, oh God, let us keep building. Every generation, let us keep building in this family. I don't want them to lose it somewhere. But we keep nurturing, doing what we ought to do. To build out of the things that we ought to do and listening when the amen starts talking. Now, if he's talking, you and I ought to just say, so be it. Amen. We're the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We've been blood bought, scripture taught, spirit caught, his sons, his servants. And his soldiers, in effect. And when the amen says amen, it'd be good if you and I just say right then, right there, amen to whatever the amen is saying. Remember that little piece? Amen. 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 Yes, indeed. There is one whose name, one of the titles that are given to him. He is the Amen. And this passage says that he's talking. These things saith the Amen. And when he's talking, he's telling me things I need to hear. And I just need to sign up for whatever it is that he's got laid out for me. And if I'll do that, I'll be in good shape. It'll work good for me. It'll work good for you. It'll work good for Madison Baptist. It'll work good for your school. It'll work good for your city. We've got folks now that are all concerned because they think some of our folks are promoting something they call Christian nationalism. Well, I tell you what, it wouldn't hurt for our nation to get Christianized. I think it'd be real good for us if we did. This whole business, listening when God talks, whatever he says, he is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the creator. He is greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valley. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he talks, let's listen. Stand up with me and we'll pray. Our Father, we bow our heads tonight, so mindful of our failure, so mindful of our ineptitude on so many things, so mindful of the waywardness of our nation, so mindful of how many of our churches have lost the mantle and are just not serving you as should be done, and so mindful that many of our families are drifting and not staying in touch with you as they should. And dear Lord, I pray that in these days, in this super conference here at Madison Baptist, that one here and one there, that families will mark it down. They'll look back to it and they'll say, that was when we just dug in. We dug in a little deeper. And, oh, dear God, please move and work in our midst in every service. I pray that when the pastor stands here on Sunday, in both of those morning services and in that 4 o'clock service in the afternoon, and when the Spanish folks get together at their hour, dear Lord, I pray, move, stir, work in this place. And may the touch of heaven be so felt that the word will go out across greater Huntsville. That something big, something exciting, something really anointed of God is going on at Madison Baptist. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Hear our prayer tonight. Dear Lord, help us all to get ourselves ready to receive what you have for us. We ask in Jesus' name, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let me just say to you, if God's touched your heart, tendered your heart, moved in your heart tonight, these altars are a place to just tell the Lord what's going on with you and what you want to do and seal it up with him. The pastor will come and send the invitation further, but as the music begins, listen to what God's saying and respond to it, and we'll praise you, praise the Lord for it, and we'll rejoice with you as well. God bless you. Let's do it. Come on, please.